realized how important personal brand was. It's like, if I touch any company that I touch, because I'm Benny Fisher, and Benny Fisher is going to be with me forever, that's the brand I'm building for a lifetime.
Yeah,
I can sell Big Fish Contracting Company, and someone else can do whatever they want with that brand to be, you know, if I sell the company. And so at the end of the day, like, I'm always going to be me. I got to keep this brand as tight and as true as possible, my most authentic self. And anything that I touch, I'll be able to mix my personal brand with the product brands.
So how do you turn your business into an actual brand? Well, my name is Bijal Patel, and I've had 13 years of corporate experience working at big Fortune 500 companies, and I'm taking all of that juicy firsthand experience and have brought it into my company launch. Within this podcast, you're going to learn about branding, vision, identity, mindset, and how to scale your business to the next level. So let's go ahead and own your brand. All right, everyone, welcome to Own Your Brand. I'm super stoked and excited to introduce my friend and visionary, Benny Fisher of Big Fish Contracting Company, who also has an amazing podcast, The Big Fish Cares. And so he's here today to just jam with us on all things branding, the amazing things that he has done as both a visionary and a heart-centered person in general. So Benny, welcome to the show.
Heart-centered. I love it. Yes, yeah. I love it. I never actually realized that until about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was coming up with a name for my podcast, and I was like, Mary, I know I got to play off this Big Fish brand thing, right? Yeah. And the reason we call it Big Fish is because my last name's Fisher. I'm not a small guy. And so everybody laughs at that, right? And so I'm like, all right, I gotta have a podcast. I gotta stay on brand. I don't really want to have to scrap the cute little fish logo. And for the contracting company, we had a hammer in his hand. And I'm like, all right, so what do I really want to do for this podcast? And I'm like, I really just want to help other people to share their story. And I want to learn from other people, like in the moment, right? Like, yeah. I actually, for my own selfish needs, I don't care if one person actually listens to my podcast. It's like a one-on-one interview. It's almost like having lunch with someone, kind of like what we're doing today.
Yeah.
But like, there's nothing else that matters. It doesn't matter what I got on the calendar next hour. It doesn't matter what happened in my life before. It's like me and you, I'm present with the guest. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to call it The Big Fish Cares. And then I needed a logo. And I'm like, well, caring. Like, it comes from the heart, right? And so we just put a big old heart in his fin. And here we are. So
I love that. I think that's – I love the story behind it. And I love the fact that there is – I love the fact that you've taken your last name and done something really fun with it, like The Big Fish, because it's fun to say – it's just fun to say, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just a cool thing, a fun thing to say. And like, when I looked at your logo, you know, when we just recently, I feel like we've connected and convened. I've known who you were for a long time, just through, you know, Joseph Hughes and other people, with you being an industry leader in roofing and us having a lot of roofing clients. I've known who you were, but then getting to experience you. So I have to share this with our listeners. And just to reemphasize the caring and the heart that's in the logo. I was going through some stuff, as posting like I normally do, very radically vulnerable. It's kind of my style. And I was just, you know, sharing what was happening in the moment and, you know, this thing, that thing, all my struggles, because I prefer to share my wounds rather than my scars, because I want people to know, hey, the journey is hard, but you can be alongside me shoulder to shoulder, watch me do it and learn the lessons alongside. And Benny sends me a direct message on Facebook one day, and he was just like, hey, I know who you are. If you ever need anything, or if you want to talk, like, I'm a fan, I'm in your corner, just let me know how I can help. And I was like, what? I think I was like, what? Like, you know, I don't remember what my exact reaction was. But it was something like, I was just taken aback by just the ask, and for the fact that someone noticed and cared enough to be able to reach out and just be like, hey, if you ever need anything, let me know. And so that's, I would say, that's how we ended up kicking off our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually said, I actually pulled it up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Benny, I'm truly just taken aback. So grateful for you reaching out and providing such positive words. I'm grateful that that person you were talking about, a mentor that didn't mean much to you. You found out that that relationship was clearly transactional, which is always a tough thing, because people like us that have these big hearts that always want to help people, we think relationships are forever and we go into them with forever, and we still do, right? Like, you know, this person that may have hurt you a little bit, like if they come back in another month or two and they like reach out, like you're going to still be there for them.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it's like, but like at the end, you're like, wow, you're just an amazing human being just reaching out and offering. And then I followed up and said, hope you're having a great day, better day. And then we just started, you know, flirting in the DMs, if you will. This next thing you know, you're helping me with my keynote. So
that's exactly what happened. So it's like, you can just like, you form these bonds with people, and then you start to just connect authentically. And then, you know, that this great segue. So we got the opportunity to be behind the scenes, helping you prep for your like amazing EOS keynote in front of 2,300 people. And so tell our audience a little bit about that experience and kind of like what you went through personally, how we sort of worked together and what the end result was.
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to have a slide deck that didn't stuck. I knew I had a really cool story. I knew that I needed to kind of talk through the story a few times to kind of figure out what parts to put in, how to structure it a little bit. Your team was very helpful with that. But really, they made me like really kick-ass graphics that really helped set the motion. You know, I didn't want a lot of words on the screen because, you know, I've been to those talks where, you know, you're trying to read all the small print. Even though it's on a big screen, like it's still, you're still far away. Like you can't read all that stuff anyway. And I didn't really want people taking pictures of like the slide deck. I'm like, we'll send you the slide deck later if you want it. But yeah, really just want you to pay attention to the story and let you feel it. And that's exactly what happened. So it was great working with your team. It was great working with you. Thanks for all the different calls that you hopped on. And even the little call in the morning, I remember I was on the treadmill. My talk was like 8:15 in the morning. I think I was on the treadmill like at 5 a.m., which I think for you, luckily, you were on East Coast time at that time. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good to, you know, get the little pump up from Bijal. And it was a great chat. It was a great talk. I got a lot of great feedback. I've never gotten as much feedback on anything I've ever done in my entire life. And I built a really amazing company and a really cool personal brand. I've never got that kind of feedback before. So having 23, I think, yeah, 20, 22, 23, 2400, just a freaking packed house of people. I couldn't go anywhere throughout that conference without people coming up, sharing their story with me and telling me, like, you know, I had this group of girls. You would have thought, like, I felt like I was a rock star at like coming off stage, and like there was this group of girls that would follow me around the conference, and they were giggling and they were laughing, and they're like, "We're your biggest fans. You changed my life." And I go, "I didn't change anything, girl." I said, "If you decided to change your life, like you changed your life." I mean, I changed my life. I said, "Like changing your life." But it was just so, it was like, I understand now what it's like to, like, you know, maybe be like a rock star to some certain degree, because it was like, it was overwhelming. I was just like, people just can't, because I'm not used to like people just telling me that many nice things in a row. Like, I mean, you know, my whole speech was about how, you know, pretty much people told me in my whole life that I couldn't do stuff and I was annoying and I was a nuisance and, you know, just a lot of negative self-talk. Right. And so, and kind of like, that's what led to a lot of my pain in life. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you share all that. You're open, you're raw, you're vulnerable, you're authentic. You know, the emotions are flying. And now, I mean, I had grown men come up to me, tell me, "I've never cried before at a conference," and I cried. And they're like, "You should have warned us. Like, you could have put some like Big Fish branded Kleenexes like on the seat." And I'm like, "I'll know that for next time. So next time I do an event, I'm going to have to send the conference Big Fish branded Kleenexes packs."
Yeah.
And people will be like, "What are these for?" And then after the talk, they'll be like, "Oh, I know what those are for now." So that could be like the new branding play.
I'm picturing that emoji, you know, with like the tears, where like the tear waterfall comes.
Yeah.
Like the Big Fish needs an edit where there's like the water coming out. They're like, "What's this for?" You'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible. And it's like, I feel like you're like Justin Bieber. Like, is that who you are now? Like, you've got
a group of girls. No. See, that's the thing. I don't actually want that. Because it's overwhelming. I mean, like, listen, yeah. you know, I grew up in a world where, like, tough love, right? Like, we're yeah. like, you know, you can say I love you once and, like, you can say it's awesome once. But, like, if you tell me that too many times, I'm actually not going to believe you.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've been programmed my whole life. Now, I'm trying to change that programming. And I do believe that part of the healing process was to go through an experience like that and yeah. actually probably hear it more. And I probably should lean into it more. But saying that I actually expected that or wanted that would be very far off. I had no, like, I actually thought people were going to be like, well, you could have done that a little bit better. You could have done that a little bit better. You know, the critics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure if I asked some of the guru speakers out there, they'll probably be like, yeah, you could have landed this note a little bit better. And I'm like, but if I got that many people that come up and say that, like, do I really got to worry about all that little knicky-knack, like, you know, stuff? Like, you know, so I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I need, like, a speaking coach, but I don't think I do.
No. No. I think you're good. I think that the takeaways we've had behind the scenes, too, as we've recapped on this, is, like, I remember calling you when you were on your treadmill. And like any amazing entrepreneur who's like built this amazing brand, people follow it. People look up to you. You know, you have like what, a $50 million roofing company or some crazy successful number.
I don't think it's that high, but that sounds good.
Well, that's where you're going. Anyways, the point
that's
is
where we're going. It's just not quite here. I haven't cashed those checks yet.
Yeah, he's gonna be there.
But the best part about my company is I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
So it literally runs without me. Sales, exactly. Operations, even hiring, like everything just goes whether I show up or not.
That's amazing. We're going to touch on that in a bit, but I want to kind of capture the moment. I remember talking to you on the treadmill. You had the same normal anxiety, nervousness, a little bit of self-doubt, how's it going to go, that any really good performer has. And I remember us talking about the like, hey, it's in sharing your story that people are going to find themselves and heal their pain from their own story. So like, I'm like, this thing is on lock. Like you couldn't even mess it up if you tried, Betty. Like you couldn't mess it up if you tried, because you're a catalyst for turning pain into presence for people by them finding their story in yours. So it gives them a moment and an opportunity to start the healing process. And when I hear like the drove of groups, men, girls alike, women running up to you, that means that you were able to catalyze the pain into presence. So I wanted you to speak on that for a moment and say like, you know, give us a little bit of a history or a tidbit of how did you turn this framework, pain into presence? How did that come through in your life?
Well, I've just experienced a lot of pain. I can go over some of the highlights. I mean, I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 7. My parents got divorced when I was 5. So growing up, you know, teachers didn't really understand me. My parents didn't understand me. The kids at school didn't understand me. I remember getting bullied. I remember like getting lots of detentions. I remember like, you know, everyone was on that college track. I tried that, didn't like that, dropped out after 3 weeks, got a job selling cars, did really well at it at first, then got, you know, wasn't very consistent though. Like I would make a lot of money and then I'd like, you know, lose focus, right? And my managers were kind of mean to me. I got fired every single car sales job I ever had. Started doing home loans, did cell phones. I bounced around from corporate job to corporate job. No college degree, so I can only do these entry-level sales positions. And I was at a party one night and I tried drugs for the first time. And this was like when I was 26 years old, because I grew up strict Baptist. And so like, you know, drugs are always bad. Like I was like, oh, I'm never going to do those. I'll eat myself to death, you know, and I'll get, you know, hundreds of pounds. But like, drugs are bad. Right. So.
Right. I can relate.
So I tried the drugs. I ended up really liking them. And then I started selling drugs because I felt, oh, people wanted what I had. And I found love and acceptance for the first time in the drug game. But I wasn't really good at that either. I failed at that. I mean, I got robbed at gunpoint. I went bankrupt one time. I got evicted from my apartment, was homeless for a couple of days. And I started to couch surf. I eventually got raided by the cops and got felonies on my account. My uncle calls me up, says, hey, will you move to Pittsburgh? You can work at my commercial roofing company. So I moved, you know, I was from Canton, Ohio. I moved over to Pittsburgh a couple hours east, started a new life over there. Ended up getting married, had a kid. He calls me up one day, tells me I'm fired because he couldn't figure out how to deal with me and all my ideas and things like that. And so then that's how I birthed my company, my roofing company, the Big Fish Contracting Company, kind of out of a lot of pain, right? And a lot of rejection. And so I went out on this mission to prove everybody wrong and to build an amazing and really cool brand that not only customers would get a lot of value out of, but that employees would also get a lot of value. So I wanted to create my little Disney World, if you will. Mm-hmm. But 2 years into my entrepreneurial leap, I overdosed on fentanyl. I had stopped doing drugs for 6 years. Okay. So 6 years go by. I didn't touch a drug, right? I thought I was fine. Business pain gets hard. Life gets hard, trying to be a dad, trying to be a husband. Mm-hmm. End up starting with the Percocet, ended up storing Oxycontin, bought a fake pill online, and it must have been had fentanyl in it, dropped dead. Luckily, my best friend had stopped over at my house. I was laying upstairs on my floor, dead. He called 911, saved my life. By the grace of God, I'm still here with you guys today.
Wow.
That's when I started to find some purpose, right? But I couldn't really figure it out because I was still embarrassed. I was still too ashamed. I didn't tell anybody my story. Nobody at my company knew. None of my customers found out. Just my immediate family knew what happened, and that was embarrassing enough. And so I was really afraid to tell anybody. I was really afraid to go out and get the real help that I needed. So I kind of tried to help myself, which was very, very clunky. COVID comes, and that was another pause, in my life that I looked around. I'm like, man, I don't really like this life that I've created. Like, I need to do something about it. Realized I was probably not in the best, healthiest marriage. I ended up getting divorced. That was a tough decision because, I had a small child, but I figured, hey, I'm going to be a better dad if I can go get myself right and figure out like who I'm supposed to be and how I need to get there. Ended up meeting a girl. I thought I was going to be a bachelor the rest of my life. Met Brittany, fell in love with her. After that, she was into health and wellness and meditation and mindfulness. And I started learning about all that inner work. Started doing a lot of therapy and started, getting myself right there. At the same time, I go back into my business and I really didn't like the way my business was turning out because I had hired a guy that I thought was smarter than me. He had an MBA. He was a COO. His name was John. And it was very miserable to go to work there. Even me and my people didn't like going to work there. But we had lots of money in the bank.
Yeah.
So I really didn't, and I didn't have a process or a system to be able to like figure out like how to how to deal with that. Cause like I knew I needed John for all these processes and all this cash because I would just probably like spend it or not mismanage it. But I also knew I didn't have this fun, energizing, enthusiastic culture that I thought I was creating. And so I told somebody about that. They told me about a book called Rocket Fuel. I read that book. It's an ELS book by Gino Wickman and Mark C. Winters. Read that book, and that truly transformed who I was, because at that time, Gino was talking about these visionaries and I'm like, that's me. Like, he's describing me to a T. And for the first time in my life, I felt, wow, like I felt like this awesome confidence and this strong sense of purpose and like who I am, and that I don't have to be all things to all people. There's other people that have superpowers, and I just need to find these people and bring them together. So I started implementing the EOS system in my business. About 6 months after I did that, I'm on this golf course. I think my life's great. My business is thriving. I got this new leadership team. Things are going good. And I get a call that my brother was killed in a drug deal gone bad. And he was like 12 years younger than me. That was tough. And I knew that I needed to be there for my family. I also knew that I needed to figure out how I was going to have forgiveness. Because I didn't want to hold on to this for the rest of my life, because I knew that there's people out there that when somebody dies, they just hold on to it forever. I needed to come to grips with it. I needed to come to peace with it. And so somehow I was able to do that, and I think that was through God's power. But the one thing I was able to do is I was able to grieve, because I didn't have to go back to my business right away, because I had this leadership team in place that was taking care of my business. They were all pretty new, but they said, hey, Benny, take as long as you need to heal and grieve. And that's what I did. I took 3 weeks, didn't even think about my work. I came back fresh as could be, energized, even though something tragic happened. And then I realized that I didn't always need to be in my business.
Yeah.
And so then I started to realize, man, I don't think my true purpose is to like be like the CEO of a roofing company. I think my true purpose is that I need to go out and share my story more to help maybe other people overcome whatever they're dealing with in life, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's shame, like anything that they're going through that needs a light on it, because a lot of us keeps things in the dark. I said, it's probably going to be my job with my big mouth that I've had to create over the last 40 years because maybe I needed more attention. I don't know where that, I don't know where the voice comes from, but it's a gift, right? And so
yeah,
got to figure out how to use that. And I read this book, another book that Gino wrote that summer or that fall in 2021 called The ELS Life. You know, doing what you love with people that you love, making, you know, a lot of money doing it, you know, having time for other passions, living a purpose-filled life, all those like awesome things. And I'm like, all right, what is that? And so on that journey, I started the podcast because I wanted to start learning how to hear other people's stories because I wanted to see how they all kind of fit together. I wanted to give people that that spotlight, you know, so that way I could shine a light on their story so that way they could have some confidence. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, because my story doesn't always appeal to every single human, right?
Of course.
I'm more interested in everybody else's story and giving them a platform. And so I started doing that. And then I started our buddy Joseph Hughes asked me, he was very impressed with everything that was happening at Big Fish. And he's like, hey, can you help all these contractors that I'm serving in the roofing space? Like, they want to get to where you're at, you know, living like this awesome life, personal business. How'd you transform so quickly? And so I've been doing small group coaching calls. We started a mastermind. I've been doing more speaking engagements. And I finally shared my story like 2 years ago on a podcast. And then I started, then I got a speaking engagement and I just decided to let it rip one day. And like, I just kept getting better and better feedback and more people wanted that. And, you know, that basically culminated to like, you know, last week I was at this ELS conference where like, you know, Gino Wickman has been like a hero of mine. Didn't really know him until like, you know, last week, you know, and when he was on stage doing his closing keynote, he mentioned my name 15 times in his talk. And he said, Benny, you couldn't have set that up more beautifully for me. Thousands of Bennies.
He said 15 times. Serious? Oh, 15
times he said Benny. Like, that was like weird. And I had never had when he heard my, you know, it was the first time he actually ever got to know me. Like, I saw him in the hallway before that. He said, good luck, young man. And I'm like, okay.
And you're like, yeah. I'm not fangirling, but yeah. I'm fangirling.
Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, because like, you know, the first person I ever looked up to on like social media, and this is before actually social media existed, in 2001 when I was selling cars, I went to a Grant Cardone seminar in Cleveland. And I remember this is before the Grant Cardone that everyone of you know that even listening, because no one knew Grant Cardone was in 2000. I'm sorry, 2001, I was at this Grant Cardone seminar. I mean, this is 25 years ago almost. You know, Grant would have been like 40 probably. He's probably 65 now. And I was like, wow, look at this good looking dude in a suit and he's got energy. He's got a Rolex on, dude. He's talking about closing deals. I'm like, I want to be like that. Well, he goes away. There's no other information. And I like try to go chase money the whole time. Well, that left me down a deep, dark hole. In 2012, my uncle says, hey, I need some help with marketing in my business. So I start turning on the social media thing because it was still kind of, it was really new at the time. And I start learning from Gary Vee. And I'm like, oh yeah, Gary Vee, man. Like, that's the guy I should be following. Yeah. Not Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone's just like, sell, sell, sell. Don't care what happens to anything else. Just sell more.
Yeah. He was direct response all the way. And it's been amazing to watch him get obsessed with brand over the last 2 to 3 years, he's become obsessed with 10X and actually Cardone Ventures. Elena is branding herself. Like, they have all sold out to personal brand now.
Yeah, it's fun watching like the transformation. Again, he's much different than he was back then. The only reason I say that is because you can't just take one of anybody, because like, you know, if you just try to emulate that, there's blind spots to that, right? And so then I started listening to Gary Vee, and Gary Vee has probably been the most impactful human on my ability to be able to create brand and then also have, you know, love and kindness and compassion. It's almost like having that mom and dad speaking into your ear all the time, because he's just like so cool and so nice and just like, just very encouraging. But then when I started reading about the Gino Wickman books, I'm like, man, like, this guy is just smooth, right? Like, Gary's like all over the place, you know, New Yorker, like, great guy. But Gino's got this calming energy, this inner peace, this like, he's got this amazing outer world story, but this very, this inner world story that he has that he's been able to overcome. And he started to write about that. And so he's like, he's like, Benny, he's like, you took everybody from The Entrepreneurial Leap, which was like one of Gino's books. You took them through Rocket Fuel, which then led you through Traction, right? Then you're living your EOS life. And now his latest book is called Shine. It's about the 10 disciplines to maximize your energy. And like, that's like the more spiritual, yeah. more like yep. way to like get at a higher level of like enlightenment, I guess. Which I've been kind of going on that track with Brittany, right? Like, and so mm-hmm. like all of this comes together and Gino's like this perfect, like old school macho guy that turned into like calm, cool Buddha, like, doesn't do a whole lot of social media, doesn't put out a whole lot of content. And so every word that he speaks, like you just hang on to for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, like if yeah. like, if you miss something that Gary says, it's like, just wait 5 minutes, you'll see it again. Right. But like Gino is like, dude, when he speaks, it's like, all right, better hang on to that because I might not know him the next time he comes out of his shell again because, you know, yeah. he's a little more introverted. And so it's just, it was really cool to like, you know, meet my heroes, right? And I've got to spend a lot of time with Gary Vee over the last, you know, couple years because of the Vee Friends Project. I actually saw him a couple weeks ago in New York. I'm actually going in a couple weeks to New York again. Me and Joseph are to a champagne and caviar dinner with about 20 of us at his restaurant called Little Maven. So I'm excited about that. Had the experience with you. I feel like, yeah. And I didn't even tell you this. How about a guy from Canada called me yesterday, wants me to speak at some conference in Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan.
So, here's the deal. So 2 years ago, when I started to manifest like what my dream life looked like, it involved like speaking at a really awesome conference, similar to ELS, in a very tropical area like San Diego fits the bill. Nice hotel. They're going to put you up. They're going to pay you a bunch of money to speak. It's going to be great. You're going to get to do the conference. You'll be able to bring the family. You know, my family went to the zoo the whole time I was there. They, you know, and like, that's my dream life, right? If I could just do that once a month, if I could just keep helping entrepreneurs, you know, the rest of the time and be a family man and be a dad and be a good partner. And like, that's my ideal, like life. I feel like that is awesome. Invest in a few companies along the way, be fulfilled, have purpose. And I'm like, all right, cool. So like 12 times a year, that's all right. But I never did this. Like ELS is my first big keynote, first big place. I get this call. He's like, will you come to Saskatchewan? I said, well, it's not really in my dream. I said, but I think I'd probably have to do the Saskatchewan conference to get more like Cancun conferences. And so I think I'm going to be at this conference called Convergence in early February of next year. We're still signing the paperwork on that. But he's like, if you can just deliver that same talk, that'll be perfect. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. So I'm going to be going to Saskatchewan in the dead middle of winter.
That sounds amazing.
To deliver a talk to a bunch of farmers.
I think
they're into AI. They're into technology. Yeah. They're into like the future. Like, cause I'm yeah. sure like farming and all this stuff, it probably has a lot of technology behind it nowadays.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. So like
sounds fun.
Life's getting excited.
And we forgot to highlight this. Like you got a standing ovation at the EOS conference.
I barely remember it because I was so present in the moment. Like I can't explain to you what it feels like when you're, when you're performing and you're like, and you're just, it's like, you're up there and like, you know, it's kind of dark. There's lights on you. There's big TVs all around you. A lot of pomp and circumstance, and you're just there. Just, I don't even remember that hour, but I asked somebody when I was done, I said, I think everybody got up and clapped, didn't they? And they're like, yeah, like you had like a 2 minute standing ovation. And I was like, really? I was like, does that happen all the time? They're like, no, only like when it's really good. I said, oh, well.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
Cool.
I remember texting you. I was like, you're like, your only response, standing O, exclamation. I was like, done. We'll catch up on the rest later, let you ride out the wave. And it's just incredible because the coolest part is that when, you know, as being a speaker myself too, is like, you're never looking for a standing ovation. You never go into it with that intention or outcome. Like that's not something you're looking for. But when you deliver something directly from the heart and you just leave it all on the floor, I've noticed that level of energy, it ends up creating that kind of wave. And it's almost like when the standing O happens, it's this moment where you're paused of like, oh, I was so in the motion of it. The message was coming through me and I'm just a conduit delivering it. You're not even aware that, you know, they say the law of mirror. And the law of mirror is often used in, you know, coaching world, personal development world, to, in almost in like the feedback aspect of like, hey, here's a place you need to develop. Here's a place you need to get better. But I realized that the standing ovation, you earn it from your audience. It's also a mirror of like the way that you're willing to show up radically vulnerable and just put your heart out there and leave it all on the floor. So just wanted to publicly acknowledge that because you magically skipped over that little highlight when we talked about it. And I want to just shine that light back on you that you earned that standing O with 2,300 people.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely a special moment too. But to your point, that's just the result of the impact and really just, yeah, being that conduit, right? And using my story to like, you know, I was the one that was picked for that day to like be the one that was up there. But we all have, you know, a similar story, maybe not exact, but we all have like that hero's journey story and that we're all on that wave. And some of us are at the high point, some of us at their low point, and some of us are either on our way up a hill or on our way down a hill. And I think so it was very relatable. So I was definitely appreciative of it. And I'm still getting tons of messages. Like, it's like, you can tell that like all the visionaries came up to me right away, but like all of like the integrators, the implementers, all the thinkers, like, you know, it's been like almost a week now. It's been like, yeah, today's Wednesday. So it's been a week. I'm still getting messages on LinkedIn and in my DMs. They're like, oh man, that was a great, you know, cause they're probably just finally processing it. They're going through their notes. They're like, oh yeah, I remember. Cause you know, 2 days of conference is a lot of stuff. But, and so, yeah, it's like the gift that keeps on giving. And then the videos will be coming out next week. They're on demand, you know, but I'm going to get my own copy. So I'll hopefully I'll be able to share that with you.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me bring a video guy, man. They were really tight about like having their own, they wanted to control the content themselves, which, you know what, when you have a great brand and you can kind of control what's emitted from that brand. And so I learned a lot about brand, you know, tying this back to brand.
Yeah.
EOS does a really good job, you know, of like having all their brand guidelines, you know, whether, you know, I think they're a little strict, but guess what? That's what makes them a great brand though.
Exactly.
And it keeps them dialed in. And so it's like a masterclass in watching branding take place, because I remember 4 years ago, EOS didn't have much of a brand at all as far as like, you know, they had the books.
Yeah.
But man, the conference was well done. It gets bigger and better. The way that they're doing things, the way that they're trademarking things, the way that they're letting people use their information. It's very, very, it's a masterclass in brand. And so I get to watch them. I get to watch Gary obviously do his thing and kind of just, you know, wing it kind of like through with all these characters and VFriends. But he's obviously controlling that narrative of how VFriends is getting developed. And so, yeah, I'm addicted to brand because brand equals freedom.
I like that. Brand equals freedom, y'all. And like, I want to touch on that a little bit because I actually want to have our audience hear from you directly on how you built your own personal brand. I mean, obviously, you have the stories that are amazing, stories, not story. But what I want to touch on with the EOS, the technicality of that, like we got to go through that together. And as, you know, owning launch and we make brand guidelines for people, I was really impressed with the EOS system in general. They had a slide deck we needed to use. They had a set of brand guidelines. They had like slide by slide bullet point list of what does adherence look like. And then they had a team of people that our design team was working with to make sure that we were, because we were tasked with, we had to represent Benny Fisher, the big fish contracting company, kind of in the background. Not really. It's more about Benny Fisher, the personal brand. But Benny Fisher, you know, you had your own personal brand that was showing up, and we were wanting to be very respectful to EOS, but we also wanted to make sure that there was a hybrid between you are the keynote speaker, this is Benny Fisher, and this is EOS. So we had a lot of healthy engagement with their team on like, where exactly is the line between what can we do and can we not do? And I think it was a great experience in terms of working with their team and them being flexible. They let a lot of our stuff, I was surprised because I feel like, I'm like, oh, we are pushing the envelope. Like we were going a little hard with the yellow and we had the hearts and we put the Benny Fisher icon. Like we were in there doing stuff just to like say, like we wanted to go over the line so that they could kind of course correct us back. And I will say, I feel like a lot of their feedback was more technical in terms of like some of the sequencing and maybe the elimination of a couple topic points. But I think overall, we were pretty much in lockstep and like in adherence with what their guidelines were.
Yeah, it was a cool experiment. It was fun to watch you guys do your magic. I remember, you know, if you don't ask for things, you're never going to get them. So you might as well ask for as much many things as you can. You know, if you ask for $10 and someone gives you $8, you're still $8 richer. So
yeah, rather than asking for one. So like we snuck in some stuff on Gary Vee, and then we kind of had to pull it back out a little bit. We're like, okay.
Yeah, we can't mix all these brands together.
Yeah, they're like, come on, all right. So, well, we're like, all right, well, at least we got to keep, you know, the Big Fish Cares podcast in there. So, you know, being able to get that in there and represent. But I think it's also, it's like you're a keynote speaker. It's great. You know, you've been paid to come do this thing and you're there to really represent their brand. But how do you respectfully represent their brand while also owning some of the equity of, hey, I'm here as a keynote speaker? So I think knowing how to work together and collaborate together, that's really the way that you build these strong relational, you know, you want to build relational equity as you move forward. And I think that was an amazing dance we did. So moving on, let's have the audience learn from you. When did personal brand become something that you realized, hey, this is really actually important for me to do? And what were some of the tangible tactical first steps that you took to like really start to focus on your personal brand?
So yeah, that's a great question. So I was unaware I was building a personal brand, you know, my whole life. so when you're listening right now, like all of you have a personal brand, you're just maybe not aware of it. But the point that I started to focus on it, I believe, was this point where, like, you know, I was Benny Fisher on Facebook. You know, I remember when I moved from Ohio to Pittsburgh to take that job with my uncle, and when Facebook came out, I remember, you know what, I'm going to be Benny Fisher. You know, I was always Benjamin Fisher or Ben Fisher. No one ever called me Benny. Like, Benny is a name that I completely made up.
Oh, really?
Because I wanted to find out who knew me from social media versus who knew me in real life.
Oh.
And so 14 years later, okay, we're 2024, 14 years later, nobody calls me. I mean, very few people call me Ben. Very few people call me Benjamin. Usually it's only the people that are super close or like that have known me for a while. But as the way that life goes, like, yeah, like I've been Benny Fisher on Facebook since I got my first Facebook account. And so that's how I can always tell. I'm like, all right, does this person actually know me, or do they just know me from, like, but now it's like, that's just, I'm almost getting ready to change that on my driver's license.
Really?
No, not really, but because I'm, it's not that big a deal. I'm just trying to get everybody to understand. I was basically A/B testing.
Yeah.
Back in the day, right? Yeah. So, and I even until just like, I don't know, 6 months ago, probably, I was always Benjamin Fisher on LinkedIn, only because I thought I had to be a, you know, more proper name, right? And I'm like, you know what, screw that. And so what happened was, is as I was getting out of the day-to-day of my roofing company and I was starting the podcast, I just realized that, like, I am like I'm almost like, you know, my roofing company, I did a lot of like the work myself through my own Facebook account. Like, I had the Big Fish Contracting Facebook page, but most of my business was coming from Benny Fisher's Facebook page of me being out in the community. Obviously, yep. Facebook gives a lot more, you know, reach to, you know, your organic personal side.
Absolutely.
They want businesses to pay. So like, they're not going to like put your organic stuff out from a business page quite as much as your personal page. And that's kind of when I realized, like, I'm the face of this business. I'm the brand. Like, yes, we have a cool Fish logo and things like that. There's a company, but like, man, when someone thinks about Big Fish Roofing in Pittsburgh, they think about Benny Fisher. And I knew I needed to change that. And so I think in 2018 or 2019, before COVID even, I started peeling my, so I had a cartoon face up of myself because people buy off who they know, like, and trust. And as I was building that brand, I needed to leverage my face with the cartoon, right? Because I just needed people to buy off me. Well, then I realized I'm the one solving all the problems, and customers are always calling me when there's issues, or like when they want something. It's like, oh, I want to deal with Benny. And I'm like, well, dude, there's only so much Benny to go around. Can you deal with Ed, or can you deal with, you know, Frank? And they're like, no, I want to deal with you. I'm like, all right, this is not sustainable. So then I took my face down from everywhere, not to hide, but just to like get the Fish logo to be more of like the universal, like, hey, Big Fish Contracting can stand on its own with or without Benny.
Yeah.
And then when I started the Big Fish Cares podcast, I'm like, shoot, like, ain't nobody going to find this podcast like without me like talking about it, like Benny Fisher talking about it, like, you know, so it's the same problem. So the person creates the brand, but then after a person creates the company or like the product or service, but then eventually once that product or service is big enough to stand on its own, then the person can kind of step out of that if they choose to. But at the end of the day, you still have two brands. You have the personal brand and you have the company brand, whether it's a product or service, right? So I have the contracting company and I have the podcast, but I still have Benny Fisher. And so I created, based on following the guys like Gary Vee and Tony Robbins and all the other guys, I'm like, well, I probably should get BennyFisher.com. You know, doesn't that make sense? Yep. And when I realized how important personal brand was, it's like, if I touch any company that I touch, because I'm Benny Fisher and Benny Fisher is going to be with me forever, that's the brand I'm building for a lifetime. Yeah. Because I can sell Big Fish Contracting Company and someone else can do whatever they want with that brand to be, you know, if I sell the company. And so at the end of the day, like, I'm always going to be me. I got to keep this brand as tight and as true as possible, my most authentic self. And anything that I touch, I'll be able to mix my personal brand with the product brand. So like right now, I'm partnered up with Contractor Dynamics. We have a mastermind called the Arena Mastermind. It's for contractors in the home improvement space.
Yep.
That is not as well known. But what's more well known is that Benny Fisher is part of a mastermind called the Arena. Exactly. Hopefully one day the Arena Mastermind for contractors will stand on its own. There'll be a lot of other humans helping with that. And it'll be less about Benny, more about the brand, like the company brand. But then guess what? Benny might be able to partner with Bijol and her brand. And like, I might be able to do something. And then again, it's just, and so what's the true thing is the personal brand. And so, and the way that you build that is no different than the way you build a company brand. Most humans though, especially the ones that don't understand it or want to hide behind a brand, they try to build these company brands in like the shadows, right? Like they're trying to grow it digitally. And there's nothing wrong with it. You can actually do it. I believe it's a lot harder. I believe it takes a lot more money. It takes a lot more effort. It takes a lot more consistency because again, humans buy off of humans. And that's why I think personal brand is so important.
Man, I think you nailed it. Do you want to come work for Launch? Like, can we partner with you? Like,
I'm looking for something to do, man. Like my life is so free right now. Like I've got systems everywhere. I mean, like even my mastermind, I'm only spending a couple hours a week. Just, you know, and then like meetups and events and conferences and stuff like that. But I'm going to do that anyway, whether I'm like partnering with all kinds of brands. And I've realized that I can partner with brands because as long as I stay true to myself and my brand, their brand's going to look better. I'm just another light bulb on their brand.
Yep.
Another spokesperson, if you will. And so,
yeah, totally. So I want to kind of react.
This is no different than Shaq. You know what Shaq does? Shaq has his personal brand. Shaquille O'Neal, the amazing basketball player. But now guess what? He owns restaurants. He's got movie theaters. He's got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yep.
Because of his personal brand, Shaq.
Yeah, exactly. Jay-Z, like you look at these, like look at Rihanna. Like Rihanna's known for her music, but like tell me how much income her makeup line and her lingerie line brought in. So we see celebrities on scale do this and we see the gurus within the space. But I think you nailed it. And I just want to echo back, like, this is exactly what we teach clients is, and we have a name for it. We call it literally hybrid personal business branding. And so the way to think of it is like a business, like a Venn diagram is you start with your personal brand and then you have your business brand, whether it's a product base or it's a service base, whether you're a brick and mortar, it doesn't matter. They overlap at the beginning and the business owner is kind of 100% the business brand. You're the face of the brand, your sales, your marketing, your fulfillment, your delivery, your everything to the brand. The brand can't exist without you. If you take a week off, you're not making sales that week. But slowly and surely, as the business brand, your product or service starts to gain momentum in the marketplace and you get some stability there through systems, then we're looking to pull out the personal brand so that there's some overlap, like in your instance, but there's a little bit of overlap between Big Fish Contracting Company and, you know, Benny Fisher, the Big Fish, but there's less and less. And so the Venn diagram spreads out, which creates decentralization around the personal brand, making it even possible for you to sell your business, the Big Fish Contracting Company, at a higher multiple. So a lot of small business owners, they're like, oh, is branding just mean my logo and colors? And we're like, no, that's like 10% of it. Like, your branding is, if someone's looking to acquire your business, which, by the way, out of 5 businesses that try to sell, only one will actually be successful at selling, because most of the small businesses aren't even aware. They're not set up to success to actually sell. So having the ability to say, my business will live on without me, which is how you've set up Big Fish Contracting, is that the book of business will continue. That when somebody is looking, private investors, if they're looking to buy, if it's private equity, if it's just someone else who's looking to acquire your company as a part of their own roll-up, when they see that the business can sustain itself, one, and two, grow in the absence of the founder, that's a really attractive characteristic. So I think it's amazing that you've put all these brand strategies in place to create safety and a long-term legacy. And it also freed you up to then take your personal brand, which, like you said, every single one of us has it. It is our first and last name, and it will come and go through every single business that we make, partnership we do, strategic partnership, joint venture, anything we build, our personal brand will always be a part of it. And now it looks like you've bought, literally, like you said, brand is freedom. You've bought yourself the opportunities now to get to choose. You've bought yourself optionality.
Yeah, and it's because I'm just consistent with the authenticity of who I am, right? And my core values, right? That's how I decide. First of all, like on my first company, right? Like I got to pick all those. But like, let's just say I partner with you, or when I partner with Joseph, yeah, or when I partner with EOS, like we have to have similar values, because the values have to match, right? Because if not, then people get confused, right? And there's nothing worse than brand confusion.
Yeah.
And so like, I think as long as people can like just stay true to who they are and do things with companies and partner with companies that have similar like-minded commonalities, that when you combine the two together, you're actually going to get a bigger effect, like a bigger halo effect that goes around, and you'll get more reach because of that. You'll be able to stretch into other audiences too, right?
Yeah.
And sell other products and services, like even with the same brand. Like, you know, like I was thinking about this the other day, like, you know, even though I hate accounting and I hate finance, because I work with so many entrepreneurs and so many entrepreneurs trust me. Like if I own an accounting firm, or I was partnered with an accounting firm, I'd be like, hey, use this guy. Like, yep. I don't actually have to do the accounting. I just have to make sure that I'm a trusted resource and make sure that they're vetted, right? So it's like the trust thing. You know, it's kind of like how the blockchain works.
Yep.
That's why I love the blockchain so much, because it's all about trust, right? And you can see, it's all transparent and you, yep, can see everything. Unfortunately, with brand companies and individuals, you can only see surface level. You can only see what you see online. You can only see what's gets written. You don't get to see inside their core. And that's, yeah, why I want to do such a good job of communicating our brand and being consistent, so then that way the, yeah, consumers can make their own decisions.
Absolutely. So that leads me to my last question here, to sort of wrap this up, because you're understanding it at a really high level, a detailed level, a story level, a practicality, systems, and exit level. So one of the things that people ask me about all the time is like, they're like, oh, I have core values. Sometimes they're not certain on if those are really up to date, but I think you nailed it with one of the things that you want to look for when you're building strategic partnerships or joint ventures is you want to make sure that you have an overlap of core values. I say that metric is 80%. 80%, if you and I were to partner together, we would want about 80% or more. If our core values aligned and had overlap, like a Venn diagram, Bijal's core values, Benny's core values, we overlapped, we're trust is inherently built in, because we operate through a same system of values. So even if there might be some more communication needed to understand, you know, exactly where, you know, where the boundaries are and what, you know, get to know each other and XYZ, generally we can come to a consensus pretty quickly and we'll converge to solutions. The question is, how do you know that you have alignment with someone on core values? What's been your experience in that department?
Well, you can do the old fashioned way. It takes a lot longer. You just spend a lot of time with them and figure it out. But, you know, again, you know, that could take 6 months. It could take a year, right? That's what, you know, a lot of you guys out there that have hired people before, you think on the front side, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And then a year later, you're like ready to like, you know, fire them, or they're miserable. And like people wonder why it didn't work out. It's because, well, we didn't ask enough good questions. And so the best thing to do is ask deep questions that are open-ended about values and give examples of like how they've handled certain situations, usually negative situations along that value line, to just see like if the way they handled it, it's kind of like the way you would handle it. And then look for examples in their past history of that, if you can, is one way to do it. The other way to do it, and one of my favorite ways to do it, is if you have another trusted resource or another trusted personal brand out there called People. Like if there's like five other people that you really value and that like you trust, and you have a high level, right above 90% trust in them. If you ask all five of those people, let's say three of them know who Bejewel is. Well, if those three people that know who Bejewel is, because I'm not going to ask the other two if they don't know her, because that would be stupid. So if those three people are like, you know, they give me like 90% checks on Bejewel, I don't even really necessarily even have to talk to you anymore, because like I'm actually like, that's enough. Like green light. Like all of them are just going to like turn green automatically, because that's kind of how it works. Kind of how the blockchain works too, right? When there's enough things that say yes, well then we can just complete the puzzle and say yes, this is a good match, right? And so that's how you know. I mean, you just gotta you gotta have your Scooby senses on, right? And you gotta have your head on a swivel. And you have to be able to use the person in front of you and also the people around that person and experience, right? The older you get, the more experience you have with this, the more you nerd out about it, the more you dive into it, you get a lot better, exponentially better.
Absolutely.
So I could sniff someone out in 15 minutes.
Same.
And so people actually hired me. I had a person hire me one time.
No way.
They wanted me to interview someone for them. I didn't even work. It was a one-time transactional deal, but they're like, hey, Benny, we trust your instincts. We trust your intuition. Like, cause I just have a knack for being able to like get information out of people.
Yeah.
And then being able to like, just check that and like, feel like if it feels right.
Yeah, totally. Well, you're just like a tremendous like war chest of wisdom. And I, you know, shout out to Joseph Hughes, who's our connector with Contractor Dynamics, you know, the CEO and founder, and then you're partnered up with him on that and the Arena Mastermind. And like, he's just been a source of positivity and we built rapport. And so he really was a connector between us, which is awesome. So to have good people who are moving forward, who are relationally focused, who champion one another, like you start to really develop your inner circle and your who's by advocating and being in support and being relational to those people who are around you. So I think that that's amazing to hear that, because I think other people can find value in like, this is how, because people ask me all the time, how have you built the network that you've built? And I'm like, it's not by leg humping people or pedestalizing them. I'll tell you, that's not how I did it. It's not by those measures. And it's also
a picture of you leg humping somebody, just so you know. Like,
I just want to end on a hump note, you know. I mean, it is Wednesday after all. We got to keep things spicy, according to my brand. But it's by genuinely and authentically showing up and saying, where can I provide value? And I see so many takers in the space of like, well, I need this, and someone whose brand is further developed for me. People are kind of in the what can you, you know, the WIFM, what's in it for me? And I really invite the audience to say, what's in it for them? Like, look at it from the other person and the other point of view. And that's how you'll start to build a strong relationship. So with all of that, we're coming to an end with our podcast. Benny, where is the best place our audience can follow you or, you know, get into your content? Where would you like to send them to?
It's BennyFisher.com.
All right, BennyFisher.com. Check him out, BennyFisher.com. I have him followed on Facebook. He also, like I said, has the Big Fish Cares podcast. So go ahead, find that off of BennyFisher.com. We'll have the links also in our show notes. But check out the podcast. He's had Gary Vee on it. He's got big names on it. And I think you'll learn a lot by following my new friend, Benny Fisher. So thanks for having us. Thanks for being on our podcast. Thanks for putting your heart out there. And we appreciate you.
Thank you so much.